May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are now in the fifth Sunday of Epiphany, which means we are still in the season of glimpses of wonder and joy. As I was preparing the sermon, I looked briefly at the gospel reading and thought, oh, I know this one. Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. But then I looked a little bit closer and thought, wait a minute, this is different from Matthew and Mark. Jesus doesn't say, come and follow me. No, he says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. And then the next line, when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Do not be afraid is very different than come and follow me. But why might they be afraid? And how is it that they were able to drop everything and follow him? And come to think of it, Jesus didn't even say, follow me. They brought their boats to shore and just followed. What might it have been that made them leave everything and follow him? I mean, they had a lot of work to do, preparing the nets, fixing the holes, casting out in the lake, and hopefully catching a lot of fish. Not that I know a lot about being a fisherwoman, I can imagine it would be a lot of work. Was there something about Jesus that made them turn from everything they had ever known and just followed? In a culture where family and the family business meant everything, how is it that Jesus' words could have that much power? Or was it not his words at all, but his presence? Maybe there was something about this man who was standing at the lakeshore. It may have been that catching people had more appeal than fishing for fish. But what was so appealing about his request, considering that in many ways, people can be a lot more slippery than fish? I imagine it would have taken a momentous shift in their whole being to have been able to turn away from what they knew and turn towards something and someone they did not know. But maybe he was already a little known. Or if the disciples didn't yet know who he was, many others sure did. Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him. They were wanting to hear from him the word of God. So Jesus' initial reason to call out to the fishermen may have purely been for practical reasons. He was being pushed to the edge of the water and needed a place to stand where he could teach. Jesus saw two boats at the shore. The fishermen were not in the boats as they were washing the nets after a long night. And now that I think of it, this is kind of a funny scene. Jesus just climbed into the boat without a care. And then he asked Simon, the owner of the boat, to push out a little so that he could sit down and teach the crowds from the boat. A few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' bossy mother. So apparently the bossiness runs in Jesus' blood as well. Now, Simon may or may not have known Jesus, but he knew of him enough to do as Jesus asked. He must have been sitting there in both stunned silence, but also in a little bit of awe that this man was sitting in his boat. But listening was not all that Jesus had in mind for Simon. Put out into the deep water, Jesus said to Simon, and let down your nets for a catch. But as much as Simon wanted to do as Jesus asked, he was skeptical. Or maybe not skeptical exactly, maybe more speaking out of experience as the one in the boat who actually was a fisherman. And as the one who had just come back from a night of fishing, but had not caught any fish. Simon explained to Jesus that he wasn't so sure about attempting to catch any fish, because he wasn't sure that there would be any fish to catch. But in that moment, the focus became more about Jesus than about the fish. Yet if you say so, Master, I will let down the nets. And just as God set the stars in their courses, so did the fish get set in the sea. The nets were put down, and when they were brought back up, there were so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. Even with the help of the other fishermen and the second boat, the fish were so many that the boats began to sink. Can you imagine that moment? Being a part of the crowd on the seashore, watching this action from a distance, but seeing it happen in front of your eyes. Many may have not known what a big deal that was. I am not sure I would have known what a big deal that was. But I sure would have noticed a boat that was starting to sink. We may not have known that we had just glimpsed a miracle, or that we were watching the miracle maker in action. But if I or the crowd glimpses even a little of that wonder-filled moment, how much more so would have the fishermen who were right there in the midst of the miraculous moment of wonder and joy? They were there as witnesses, yes, but also as participants in the act. Jesus might have called the fish to the nets, but it was the fishermen who had to do the work of bringing them into the boat. And it was most definitely not just the work of one. There were so many fish, and so many were needed to do the work of catching. Help was needed in the catching of fish. How the crowd reacted to the sight, we do not know. But when Simon Peter saw, we know that his eyes moved quickly from the number of fish and fixed on the one who called the fish to come. Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." This sounds so much like Isaiah's cry in our first reading. "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When we are in the midst of the glory of the Lord, all of our shortcomings, our failures, our traumas, our unworthiness, and even our pride comes to the surface, for it longs to be free. And what is Jesus's response? "Be not afraid. Be not afraid when you don't feel you are enough. Be not afraid when there isn't enough. And be not afraid when God's blessings or God's callings for you feels more than enough. Even when you feel empty, God will fill up your net. Even when there are too many fish in the net, God will provide helpers to bring in the catch. And even when it feels like the boat is starting to sink, God will provide the foundation to safely lead you to shore." Paul's words in his letter to the Corinthians can be echoed back to us today, in that by the grace of God, you are who you are, and his grace towards you is not in vain. On the days that it seems you have worked harder than the rest, or on the days that it seems you just need to rest, know that the grace of God is with you, is for you, and is in you. So what does it mean that we are now called to be catchers of people? That sounds kind of funny and kind of ominous. But if I say that's another way of saying evangelism, the dread might also follow. But I don't think it has to be that way. To share the good news of the gospel is to first think of why Jesus came: to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to free the prisoner, to clothe the naked, to refresh the weary, and so much more. These are things that St. Paul's has done in the past in many ways and will continue to do so. Yes, the advocacy office will be closing, and this is very hard news for many. But we are a people of the one who is our advocate. And my sense is that advocacy is at the heart of this parish. For this moment, It is now early in the morning, and we are bringing in the nets. This will be a time to do a little net mending, a little visioning, and a whole lot of expecting that Christ will meet us at the seashore. And I have more than a sinking suspicion that at the very moment, we too will drop everything and will follow him. And so, my friends, I pray that in the midst of this Epiphany season, we will continue to see glimpses of that same miracle maker, the one who was, who is, and is to come. I pray that Christ's call for us to be catchers of people is as much the call to be not afraid. And I pray that we will have the courage to allow God to use all that we have to offer so that others may also receive. Amen.